With you and like to follow along, well, look with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, and that'll introduce our lesson and take us back to the Old Testament for a little while. Good to see you. Hope it's been a good day for you. Enjoyed the rains and certainly enjoyed being with the brethren here at Real Road as we continue to worship and serve the Lord. The book of Jude is written in a way that is very straightforward for the writer Jude. He, in the third verse, says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And then he said, "Because there are some who have crept into a local body of children of God and have created problems." And probably the majority of the letter from about verse 5 all the way down through about verse 15 is talking about this group of people. And one of the examples he gives of it is what we find in verse 11. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." He talks about these in just terrible ways these people have infiltrated the church. And like, for example, verse 12 says, "These are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They're clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." He goes on to talk about raging waves of the sea, things of that nature. And one of the people that he thinks of when he thinks of this group of people that have come in is in verse 11, as I read there, "For they have gone in the way of Cain." That's what I wanted to talk about for a little while, the way of Cain. It's interesting how he says it as you read the other two, Balaam and Korah. He said, "They've gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam." You know what Balaam was doing? Everything Balaam seemed to be doing was for money. And it says, "and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Call when some question the leadership and authority of Moses. I think in number 16, the earth opened up and swallowed them all. And we can understand that. That's interesting to me because I've all thought about it from Cain's perspective. Why did he not tell us what was the main idea with regard to Cain? He killed his brother. You'd think that would be the thought. But, you know, you have the error of Balaam for a prophet. We know what he was after. And he perished in the rebellion of Korah. We know what Korah was all about, rebellion. What was Cain about? Well, the first thing that comes to your mind, or my mind, was that he killed his own brother. He murdered his brother. But he doesn't say it that way. He says, instead of, you know, the greediness and the error of Balaam for profit and the rebellion of Korah, he just says the way of Cain, leaving open the idea that there was something more there than just the idea of killing his brother, which probably was the focal point of everything that went on around his life. Look back with me in Genesis, as we look in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis 4, read a very familiar passage with you because you know the story, but it's interesting to study it. We read, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." Verse 2, "Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Verse 6, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Continue with me in a couple of verses. Verse 9. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. There's just a whole lot that goes on there. You know, we've talked before about the Bible can't have every single story we might be interested in, whether it be Melchizedek or all of the things that maybe Solomon would have written, and certainly stories like this. But it does seem to be there is a passing of time with regard to this story between Cain and Abel. In verse 3, and in the process of time, I don't know what that means other than the passing of time, but we have no idea of how long. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel in his offering. Interesting enough, it's just a few verses of this that is written here. It's written and mentioned several times in the New Testament, but only two or three times. Go with me back to the New Testament again. This time, Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And we see in verse 3, I believe it is, four. In Hebrews 3 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Abel's sacrifice was done by faith. That's what we read. By faith Abel offered to God. And we know what Romans 10:17 teaches. Faith comes by hearing. And so we conclude that they were instructed of some things that God wanted. And it was a sacrifice that we read. It says, and by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And not saying that Cain didn't sacrifice and make an offering, but Abel's was more excellent in that way. And there is Abel offered to God something that God had said, this is what I want. And Abel seemed to have had a better attitude in simply doing what God would have him to do. Look with me over in 1 John. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, John seems to be just brutal about it in his description of Cain. 1 John 3, and we will read, verse 10. Let's start with that. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. John just calls him an evil person, calls him a person of, there in the first part of verse 12, a Cain who was of the wicked one. So you have, I guess in Genesis 4, Cain's mentioned probably 10, 12, 14 times, something like that. But then here in the rest of the Bible, about three or four times, something like that, from what we read in Jude and 1 John 3 and then in Hebrews. But it's interesting that when Jude writes about it, he talks about the way of Cain. John just says he's a murderer. I mean, he's of the wicked one. It's interesting how people describe him. And over back in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, when Paul's writing about him, he just says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Doesn't call Cain a murderer, but I think we all know the story. And so when we talk about the way of Cain that Jude was mentioning, there is a way there that you and I can think about or talk about. And I'm not sure if you can put them all in the right order or not. And some of them are pretty obvious, aren't they? Maybe the first one that would jump out at you would be the idea of substitution. The way of Cain was a way of substitution. I'm going to put something in. I know God said this, but Cain seemed to seemed to walk by just his opinion rather than what God had said do. And yet that has been so controversial through the centuries. And I don't know if God had actually told them to order a blood sacrifice of an innocent victim. That may have been it. But whatever it was, is that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, and he did that by faith. What's interesting about it is through the centuries what people have thought about Cain and how they expanded the idea of what was going on in Cain's thinking maybe. Do you think Cain thought his sacrifice would be acceptable to God? I'm depending on you to remember the story back at the fourth chapter of Genesis. How did he react when God did not accept his sacrifice? I'm not sure how he reached his conclusion, but it seems like if we can understand by faith Abel offered unto God, that is, we know what faith is and the source of faith is. What was the thinking of Cain when he was thinking he could offer something that was not revealed by God? Mankind's reason really hadn't changed a whole lot, because the thinking along this line has always been pretty consistent. People would say, well, Cain's sacrifice, Cain would say, was as valuable as the sacrifice of Abel. And well, that may be true. That may be what he thought. I mean, what I offered to God was just as valuable as what Abel offered to God. It was as much a sacrifice for Cain as it was for Abel, who offered something that God accepted. Well, when we think about that, I don't think I would disagree with it. He makes the thought that the fruit of the ground, the produce of the ground, the vegetables of the ground were just as much a part of creation as a lamb in the flock that Abel would take. It was something that came from God. He was just offering back to God what God had given him. Sometimes we think about the ideas of that which we offer to God. The vegetables or the fruit of the ground or the produce were part of the substance which God had blessed him with. There's a whole lot of thoughts that people have about this that they don't understand why his offering was made to the same Jehovah, but it wasn't accepted. And that's why it winds up at being in his description, a way of substitution of the things of God. He could have argued, I was just as sincere in offering this as Abel was in offering his. And I don't know if I disagree with all of that, but it still says in Hebrews 11 that Abel offered by faith, and in Genesis 4, God had respect to Abel's offering and not to Cain's. I mean, Cain could have even offered also the idea that God did not say, thou shalt not offer of the produce of your ground. Well, we've all heard all of that. And through the centuries, that's what people have tried to offer. But it never has really worked. This idea of the substitution is something that needs to be understood of what God will accept and what he will not accept. I mean, if God said in Genesis 5, use gopher wood, I mean, that pretty much nails it down, doesn't it? If you don't know what gopher wood is, you're going to have to get out there and find out what it is. But it was pretty specific. And that at many times that God would say, I want you to offer a lamb. I want you to take the blood of a lamb, put it on the doorpost during the Passover. And many, many times it was just a lamb without spot. But every now and then God would say, like in Numbers, the 19th chapter, he would change it. In Numbers 19, and let me find a verse. He changes it when he comes to a lot of the purification rites and the things he wanted it done. Numbers 19, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, and in which is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. Sometimes God said red heifer, didn't he? Instead of a lamb. I mean, God was being specific about these things, and that's the wonderful story or the wonderful lessons that we have back here in the Old Testament, that if God said gopher wood, we're going to have to stay with gopher wood, or if on a particular occasion he said, I want a red heifer, that's what we're going to have to abide by, whether we've got 15 different explanations as to do something else. And if he says sing, then we're going to have to sing. And that's one of the great lessons, and it seems like that's what Jude is trying to drive home, is that there is a way about Cain that's not acceptable to the Lord. And it's just this idea of substituting something, and I'm fascinated again with that idea that talks about that Balaam went after prophet, and Korah was after the authority of Moses, really. But then he just talks about the way of Cain. And just the first thing that stands out in my mind is the idea of substituting something. But go back with me in Genesis again. There's another one there that you know about, stands out. And like I said, I don't know, thinking-wise, how all of this follows, how we could number these. But in Genesis, the 4th chapter, and we read down at verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance failed? The way of Cain is not only a way of substitution, but it was a way of anger and wrath. And wrath never has worked well with man. Not anywhere at any time, not in business relations, not in the home. Certainly not in the church, not in worship to God. As a matter of fact, if you're reading with me, go back to James, the 1st chapter. James, the 1st chapter, a very well-known verse that probably you could quote. James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to what? To wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Doesn't seem like it ever has. Seems like it's created more damage and more sorrow and more terrible memories than probably anything else that man could do. Cain's wrath, or his anger, whichever word you want to use it. One of the interesting thoughts to me is Cain's wrath wouldn't allow him to, however you would do it, apologize to God. It wouldn't allow him to stand up and say, I was wrong, Lord. Can I go back and offer a lamb now? But we don't have anything like that. What we seem to have is that he just got angry, and that God's wrath was almost matched with Cain's wrath. Cain's wrath against God was manifested. Unfortunately, he got upset with God, displeased with God, and he took it out on who? Cain took it out on his brother. And he might have been angry with his brother. But it just seemed like this thing began to deteriorate very, very quickly. And it seemed like, you know, so many passages in the book of Proverbs talking about anger and wrath and what a man ought to do and ought not to do and how he ought to be concerned and careful about his thoughts. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. That would have served Cain a little better, wouldn't it? It's just this idea that wrath and anger is something that is so familiar to us in our day and time. And it never has served at all to solve problems and issues. This is a tragedy that we're studying here, and it became a tragedy of his whole life. I mean, a tragedy of however you want to say it, where you call it a disaster or a calamity or a fatal event, it turned into something that is stunning simply because we're talking about the children of the created parents from God. Adam and Eve's first two children wind up, one kills the other. And the one who did the killing spends the rest of his life being a wanderer as a vagabond. What kind of conversations did that create? What was happening in their lives? Back in Genesis, the fourth chapter again, we read that that's the very point that we have here in Genesis 4, and you read verse 8. He just makes this statement. He says, "Now Cain talked with Abel and his with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Again, I don't know how all that fits together, but you've got these. What is the way of Cain? Well, obviously, he somehow, in some way, he had this substituting idea and thought that something God would accept or it would work. And then this next idea was that he became a person of wrath and anger. And then this third one is his way was a way of death. And you just almost see it stair-stepping down. Starts with substituting something before God, thinking God will accept it. And he gets angry and filled with wrath about it. And it winds up in death. Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." And when we talk about anger and wrath, it so quickly goes to death so many times. Not easy to handle. When you read over in John, the third chapter, John, the third chapter, and you read down about verse 19, it says, And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Evil hates truth. Man, I mean, that's frightening stuff. That's a dangerous place to be in your life. If we come to this place here, not just the idea of substituting something that maybe God will accept. It's not just the idea of being angry. And I can understand people getting angry, but you would all suggest maybe that's not our correct reaction to God, to get angry with Him. But then this idea of death and how quickly it comes. Back in 1 John again, third chapter, that passage where he's talking about that he was a murderer. 1 John, the third chapter, we just read, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Look at verse 15. He says, he's continuing with the idea, but verse 15, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murder has eternal life." And it's there that we see things beginning to exist before the substituting of the fruit of the ground, maybe instead of for the lamb. You wonder if this was not the case with Cain to begin with. That he was headed down a road that was going to end in tragedy. Sometime, someplace, somewhere, it was going to happen. This idea that a way of substitution is what he's thinking, then he turns out to be a person that's angry, a person of wrath, and it's not easy to deal with or be around someone that's of that personality. It's always difficult to deal with someone like that. And it's not surprising that when you think of or read and study a life of someone who is angry and filled with wrath, that death is pretty closely associated with the story. So we have this statement, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer." But there's another attitude, another attitude you know back in Genesis, the fourth chapter. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, you look down at verse, verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, every one of you know that answer, don't you? I mean, he's talking to Jehovah. He's talking to the Creator, God. And it almost sounds like he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Some smarmy, smart mouth. But actually what it is a contemptuous answer. God asked him, he says, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And it's not because, and you know that, it's not because he didn't know where Abel was. It's because he's wanting Cain to reflect upon his life. Just like his parents before, they hid in the bushes of all things. And Creator God says, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know. But asking that question was making a point. Kind of like saying, "Where are you now, since you partake and partook of the tree? Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God says, What have you done? Contempt. Contempt for God. Just in the way he answers there. Oh, David says over in Psalms 10, he says, "Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, 'You will not require an account.'" That's pretty close to what Cain said. Just a contemptuous attitude toward the Creator about what he will or will not do, about what he will or will not accept. And then contemptuous of the truth. "Where's your brother?" He said, "I don't know." Just flat lied about it. Lied to God. Contempt for his brother's life. His brother's living. And kills him. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Paul writes there, he says, "Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." The very life of his brother. So we got this idea to work through the way of Cain involves a way of substituting things and attempting to justify things before the Creator God. And then there's this way of anger and wrath. And every one of us knows somebody that's an angry person. It's not easy to be around. And that almost always leads to something dealing with death or a tragic mistake, the way of death, the way of contempt. And then as we read in Genesis, the fourth chapter, the last one is a way of condemnation. What God says to him. In verse 7, God says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desires for you, but you should rule over it." And of course he didn't. In verse 11 we have, "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." You're cursed from the earth. You're not a part of the earth. You will wander for the rest of your life. Now that's what we were getting at back in the study of Jude. When you read Jude, the 11th verse. And you may know some other things that come to your mind when we read this again. Jude, the 11th verse. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." And when you think of it, think of a way of substitution, a way of anger, a way of death that it always seems to lead to, or a way of being a contemptuous person, and finally enduring the divine condemnation. Where would you put those things together? Would you think substitution would come first? I've often thought that contempt would probably be the first one. just an attitude toward God wanting things in a certain way. And I don't know if he learned this from Adam and Eve or not, but just a looking down upon, which is what contempt is, the things that are holy, the things that are right, the things that are righteous. And it wouldn't be long until a contemptuous attitude, would develop anger. And when that offering was not accepted, it would be an explosion. Something like that, ending up in the way of death. I've often thought about that, what would lead to that. But what he is saying here is that the way of Cain is the thing that he's wanting us to consider here in the book of Jude. And drop down further to verse 14. It says, "And now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all." And that's what Jude's trying to warn him about. And Cain was one of the great examples of this deserved judgment, along with Balaam and Korah. I guess we could do a study on both of them. When we think about Cain, there's so many things that so many questions we do have. We don't have all the information we'd like to have. But it is such a sad story in the circumstance in which it's said. It's sad in anybody's life today. But to think that the sons of Adam and Eve would be the first to rebel against God and be contemptuous of God and be guilty of murder, or to warn us and make an impression upon us that we need to guard our thoughts and make sure of our devotions to the Lord to please Him. The lesson is yours. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we haven't been talking about the plan of salvation per se. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We offer that invitation at this time. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?